Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8 for the message this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 8. I'd like to begin reading in verse 1. We'll read down through verse 6. Beginning in verse 1, Deuteronomy chapter 8. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember. Now, that's what I'm going to preach on this morning. The title of my sermon this morning is Thou Shalt Remember. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not. Neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. We'll stop right there, and I want to speak to you from verse 2, where Moses asks the people, or commands the people, I suppose I should say, to remember what the Lord had done. I want to speak from this verse this morning, and then we'll turn over to the book of Joshua. And it's interesting that Joshua is in the same spot with the same people. Moses talks about remembering the past, and Joshua speaks about the future. And we're going to do that today. We'll look at Joshua tonight, look at Moses this morning. And I want you to allow the Word of God to speak to your hearts today. Let's pray together, and then the message. Now, Father, we just thank you so much for the Bible. And Lord, I'm so glad I don't have to come in here and preach from my own thoughts. But Lord, we can come in here and preach from your eternal Word. And there's always something that we can get. So I thank you for that. And I pray that you will give us some teaching and some understanding this morning as we open the Word of God and look at its truths. Father, I pray you'll speak to hearts, and pray that you will draw each and every one of us to your side. And just help us, Lord, to love you more as a result of what we hear. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to remember all those wonderful things you've done for us, and to never forget that you reached down into the horrible pit and you lifted us out of the miry clay and set our feet upon the solid rock. Lord, thank you for the salvation that you freely give, which none of us deserves. Help us to revel in that this morning and to be blessed in the thought. And Lord, we'll give you praise and glory for what you accomplish in us. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to speak to you this morning on this passage of Scripture, from these verses. I wish that I could have read the entire chapter to you this morning, but I want to focus primarily on verse 2, where Moses challenges the people to remember that what the Lord has done for them. The great leader of Israel is about to hand over the reins to his helper, Joshua. And he knows that this is his last hurrah, this is his last chance to challenge the people. And this was given just before the children of Israel went across the Jordan River with Joshua at the helm. Moses knows that his hours are few upon the earth. He understands that in just a little bit, God is going to call him away from the people. He will walk from the Jordan up into Nebo, Mount Nebo, and there at Nebo, God will take him on to heaven, and God will scoop out the earth and lay his body in the ground, and then cover him over so that no man knows where he's buried, only God. And Moses knows that this moment is at hand. And he knows that he's about to lay down the burden that for so many years he has carried, a burden that has taken its toll upon him. And he knows that he's about to hand over that burden to a much younger man, and that young man, Joshua, is going to do things and experience things and lead the people to greater heights than Moses had ever even dreamed. In this book of Deuteronomy, we find the final charges to the people by the man that had led them for 40 years. His words were filled with experience and expectation. He stood before the tribes and looked back in reflection to all that they had experienced together. And he speaks to them with a broken heart, with all the love and emotion that his heart can muster. In reading the remarks of the great man of meekness, one of the most impressive notes is that of his anxiety that the people should remember. You know, memory is a wonderful thing. I've noticed that the older you get, the more you count on your memory. You look back to all the things that you've experienced, and you try to remember them, and you remember them over and over so that you can keep them fresh in your mind. I've noticed that my dad, who is 74 years old, whenever we get together, whenever we talk on the phone, after we update each other on how things are going, he will always say, "Hey, do you remember the time?" And we'll start talking about something that happened many years ago. He said, "I was just thinking about that the other day." Memory is something that all of us depend on. It keeps us happy. It keeps us striving. It keeps us balanced. And memory is very, very important. I'm so thankful that God saw that all of us needed a memory. Memory can also help us in as we look back to relive situations. It can help us to relive circumstances and relive experiences and remember people. And sometimes that is good, and sometimes it is not so good. But thank God for memory. It's the valuable lessons that we can learn from our memory are something that all of us need to do, and we should be challenged to remember the past so that we can learn those lessons. And Moses recognized the influence of memory. He knew perfectly well the importance of memory, and he knew perfectly well that properly stored, memory is a perpetual inspiration to what they were presently going to undertake under Joshua's leadership. And he knew that if they remembered the past, that it would certainly help them as to strive forward into the future. And as I was thinking about what Moses said to the people here, I really think that Moses was not wanting them to remember just for the sake of the history that they had experienced. I do not think that he was wanting them to remember just for the philosophical lessons that could be learned. I think his primary goal in having them remember the past was so they could learn the spiritual, the spiritual truths and the spiritual direction that they had learned from their experience. He wanted them to look back and to remember, but he wanted them to look back and remember for all the right reasons. He wanted them to see things in the right relationship, to see things in the right perspective, and to see the abiding things, the things that were worth remembering. Now, I looked up the word remembering in a Hebrew lexicon, and I found out that the word remember literally means to mark. So what was Moses saying to the people? Well, look at your verse. "Thou shalt mark all the way which the Lord thy God hath led thee." I want you to look at the word as if Moses was telling them that they are to, here in the present, look back into the past and chart the way that God has brought them. They were to map the way that God has brought them. They were to basically draw the way. They were to create in their minds and see the whole picture and understand all the way that God led them since He brought them out of Egypt to where they were on this day. They were to give, of course, attention to the facts, but they were to see what God was doing. That's the idea behind the word remember. A true backward look is that which sets the past in relation to God. That which lays upon the heart the lessons God has intended to teach by the experiences of the past. And that which it always has the future in mind. And so I think that Moses basically was wanting Israel to look back at their past, but he was wanting them to do that so they would understand the part that God played in their past. Now I want us to think in that vein this morning. There are three things I want you to see with me from this passage of Scripture. First of all, I want you to see that they were to remember God's deliverance. They were to remember God's deliverance. If you look at verse 2, the Bible here says, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years." What happened at the beginning of that 40-year period? Well, at the beginning of that 40-year period, God brought them out of Egypt. You remember the story of the first Passover, how that the blood was applied to the doorpost, and God said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." And when God saw the blood on the doorpost, He went over that house. But where there was no blood, the firstborn in that family died. In many homes, there were two that died, for the father was the firstborn, and then the firstborn son also died. In some homes, only one person died, but in every home in Egypt, there was at least one death. Oh, there was wailing in Egypt like it had never been heard before. And that was all Pharaoh needed, and he told Moses, "Take the people and go." And God delivered them out of Egypt. They got to the Red Sea, and God simply blew his breath and parted the waters of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went over on dry ground. They were delivered by God. And God said, "I want you to remember my deliverance." These people had been brought out of Egypt and delivered from Egypt's horrible bondage to God and by God's goodness to that freedom that was perfectly conditioned within government and within law. And folks, this was fundamental. This was fundamental, and they were charged never to forget it. And I want to challenge all of you this morning to see the importance of this event. It's interesting, as you go through the Old Testament, and you can read from the book of Exodus forward, where we have the story told of the Exodus, and all the way through Israel's history, all the way through the books of poetry, all the way through the major prophets, and all the way through the minor prophets, we find the prophets and the historians and the seers and the psalmists, they took, all of them took their readers back to Egypt and reminded them over and over and over through the Old Testament Scriptures. Doesn't matter whether it's right after the Exodus. Doesn't matter if it's during the time of David when the Psalms were gathered. Doesn't matter if it was during the time of Solomon when the Proverbs were gathered. Doesn't matter if it's during Isaiah's time or during Ezekiel's time or during the times of Jonah and Joel and Amos. Doesn't matter what period of the Old Testament you turn to. Every one of the writers during that time reminded the people of God that God had brought them out of Egypt. He never let them forget that truth. All throughout Israel's history, it's mentioned dozens and dozens of times. And all throughout their history, they were reminded of God's deliverance. Why? Because they were a special people. They were delivered by the very hand of God. And they were never to forget that truth. Never. And Moses wanted to make sure that they did not forget what God had done for them. In their backward look, in their remembrance, they would forever be able to keep the proper focus on who they were. They were the people of God. From them was going to come the Messiah. And God wanted them to know that He had His hand upon them and that He was the one that was responsible for bringing them out of Egypt. Now, folks, how do we apply that? Well, we too should always remember what God has done for us. You should never get over the fact that God, in His love and mercy, redeemed your soul from a devil's hell. You should never, never forget that truth. It would do all of us a great deal of spiritual good to remember the day that we put our faith and trust in the Savior, when He freed us of our sin, when He made it possible for us to obey His kingship and His government. Folks, we must put everything in relation to that initial deliverance. For in that deliverance from sin, in that day that we got saved, God freed us from sin and the bondage that we were in, and He brought us into a personal relationship with Him. I was sitting in my office Friday morning, and I was working on this message, and I got to this part of the sermon, and all of a sudden I stopped typing, and I started thinking about 35 years ago, when as a 16-year-old kid, I'm sitting in the church service, and the preacher is preaching on every sin that I'd ever committed in my life. And I got under conviction for that. And I realized that I needed to be born again. I realized that what He did on that cross, He did for me. And down that aisle I came and got on my knees, and the youth pastor took the Bible and showed me how to be saved. And I prayed and called upon the name of the Lord. And folks, I'm telling you, I had the joy of the Lord come over my soul like I haven't experienced in a while. I had an excitement that came over me as I remembered what the Lord had done for me. It'll do you good to go back in your mind to the day when you were in the pit and grace came and pulled you out. It'll do you good. All of a sudden, all the anxieties of facing surgery and all the anxieties of pastoring a church this size, and all the problems that I fight in my own flesh just seem to vanish for a few moments. And I remember sitting there thinking like it was like I got saved all over again. I didn't. You only have to get saved once. But it was like I got saved all over again as the joy of the Lord filled my soul. Let me tell you something, dear friend. If the Old Testament writers were constantly referring the people of Israel to look back, to go back and remember when they were brought out of Egypt, I want you to understand the New Testament writers just as often take us back and call us to remember the day that we received Christ as our Savior. All through the epistles, we are reminded over and over of our oneness with Christ by the mystery of the cross. I mean, Paul deals with this all the time. He is constantly talking about how we once were lost, but now we're found. And now that we're found, we are His and He is ours. He is constantly talking about now that we're saved, how we ought to serve the Lord. And now that we know Christ is our Savior, we ought to be obedient in this area or that area. Let me give you a couple of familiar scriptures to illustrate the point. Paul said, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it." He said to Titus, "Exhort servants to be in subjection to their own masters." Why? That they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior. And the point is that we may, in our obedience, in the obedience of our everyday life, we may show the whole world that fundamental fact that we are different because of our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to live the Christian life in faith and in obedience so that the world can see that something different has happened in our hearts. And what is it that has made us different? I'll tell you what it is. It's faith in the Savior. Folks, listen, God has redeemed your soul. You ought to be thankful for that. You ought to remember that. You ought to look back to that. It will certainly help you as you remember what Christ has done to live for the Lord. Don't ever get over the fact that God in love and mercy has saved your soul. He has taken you out of Egypt. Now what you need to do is let Him take Egypt out of you. You understand what I'm saying?
I mean, He took you out of Egypt. But now what you need to do is surrender to Him and obey His Word and do what He calls you to do and do what He asks you to do and let Him get Egypt out of you. There's the sermon right there. Write that down so I don't forget that. God never forgets it, and neither should we. God never forgets it. And when we remember this fundamental truth that God saved us, it'll impact every aspect of our lives. Our life at home, our life at work, our life with business dealings, our associations, everything will be impacted. When we daily remember what we were and now what we are living in God's economy. And we are not what we used to be. When we remember that, it will certainly keep us close to the very one who has given us that relationship to begin with. First of all, I said to you that Moses challenged the people to remember God's deliverance. Secondly, I said that he charged them to remember that it was God that led them. Look at your Bible, please. It says, "And thou shalt remember all the way." And then he takes several verses here to talk about how God led them as they left Egypt and made their way to the promised land. There is nothing as beautiful in the book of Deuteronomy as these passages of Scripture upon which Moses insisted upon the guidance of God. Moses knew he couldn't do this in his own strength. And he just many times prayed and asked God to help him. He writes in one place, "God went before you in the way to seek you out a place to pitch your tents." Folks, I want you to think about the children of Israel in this wilderness. You know, when they left Egypt, as far as they were concerned, they were going right straight to the land of Canaan. They did not realize that there was going to be a little side stop for 40 years. In that 40-year period, you've got to realize where they are. They're not in Carroll County. They are in the desert. This place where they are is, or where they were, was a terrible, ruthless place. Nothing but sand and mountains and rocks and wild animals. That was it. They had it so hot during the day you couldn't hardly stand it, and so cold during the night you couldn't hardly stand it. It was not a good environment to be in. And yet the whole way, the point that Moses is making here, God was with them. Folks, you know, if God had not been with them, they wouldn't have made it. Not with that big of a crowd. There is no way they would have made it. And I want you to think about it. 40 years, not 40 days, not 40 weeks, not even 40 months. But for 40 years, they wandered back and forth in that desert. And you know, as you look at that 40-year period, and as you map the direction and the journey, you would think that it was chaotic and without order. When you look at it, and I've looked at it that way, I'll be honest with you, I read it and I thought, good night, they went here, they went there, they went here. Why didn't they just find a place and stay there and learn the lessons? No, what you've got to understand, in their going back and forth, it was not chaotic, it was not without order, it was not that way at all. God led them every single place they went. God always went before them, and God always chose the place where they pitched their camps. When the sun went down and the clouds stopped, they pitched their tents, and it was always on ground which God had chosen for them. So, what's the point? The point is, all of this 40 years was for their good. Look at the 16th verse of our chapter. Moses said of God, "Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at the latter end." In the 16th verse, we learn that all of this 40 years was movement toward the purpose that God might show them, might do them good at the latter end. Folks, let me tell you, they could never have enjoyed all that they enjoyed in Canaan had they not first learned what they had to learn in the wilderness. You cannot just go out of Egypt and go right into Canaan. You've got to go through the wilderness. Every one of us has to go through the wilderness. And they had, in 40 years, they had several times been right to the place where they were right here in our text, right on the banks of the Jordan River. Several times they were there. God took them right up to the edge, let them look over as if to say, here is what I'm going to give you. They looked over and they saw the green mountains of Judah, and they saw the river Jordan, and they were right there. But then God turned them right around and marched them back into the wilderness again. Why? They had more lessons to learn. They had to be humbled. They had to learn to trust Him. God would get them right to the edge, and then He would lead them back into the heart of the wilderness again. But folks, here's the point. Now learn the point. God knew what He was doing with these people. God knew. And I want you to know, God knows what He's doing with you. You may not see it right now, but God knows what He's doing with you. God led them back that they might learn to go forward. He took them in circles for 40 years so that they might learn to go straight. He led them through the horrible wilderness so that they might come to the ultimate triumph. Now let's look at us. Let's apply this now to us. Let us look back and remember our journey since we were saved. Think of a day, Christian. I mean, go back to the day you got saved, and then right now to today, somewhere in this time frame, I want you to think of a day. I don't care what day you think of. It could be your darkest day or your brightest day. I don't care. It could be your saddest day or your happiest day. Either your roughest day or your smoothest day. But once you get it in mind, I want to say something about that day that you're thinking of right now. Let me show you something that was true with them, but also something that is true with us. In every day, we walk in works which God has ordained we should walk. God does never look down from heaven and go, whoops. God does never look down from heaven and see what you're dealing with and go, uh-oh. No, God knows everything that's going on. He knows the wilderness that you're having to go through. He knows the darkness that you have to face. He knows the cold that you have to face. So right now, whatever day you chose, and no doubt, you being a sinner by nature, no doubt you chose one of the darkest days of your life. And that's what's fresh in your mind. Well, dear friend, can I tell you right now that even in your darkest day, you can rest assured God was not abandoning you. You can rest assured that God was by your side. You say, preacher, how do you know that? I know that, dear friend, because first of all, it's promised in the Word, but I know it secondly, because you are still here loving and serving God. You realized that God was with you, and you realized, just like the children of Israel, that eventually He led you through. The only question is, have you learned the lesson that you're supposed to learn? I sure hope you have. God was not surprised at anything that happened to you on your worst day. And what happened on that dark day that you had to go through? I'll tell you what happened. You found grace. You found grace to help you in time of need. You found out that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. That's what you found out. You found out the Lord was there. You found out delay has been in order to speed. You found out the disappointment over and over again was approved to be His appointment. God was molding. God was fashioning. God was preparing and making you into the image of His dear Son. And I'm saying that in the midst of our darkest day, we suddenly saw the light of His glory shining upon us to show us our path. He took us backwards so that He could bring us forward with a charge. Then thirdly, I want you to see that Moses reminded them that God supplied them with all the necessities of life. It's interesting when you read this. God gave them everything they needed in the wilderness. He gave them food. I mean, manna fell out of heaven. Angel food cake, dropping right out of heaven. Not only that, He gave them clothing. Now, He didn't drop clothing out of heaven. You say, well, how did He give them clothing? He made sure the clothes they wore did not wear out. Some of you ladies could never handle that, could you? You have to wear the same clothes for 40 years? Oh, their poor husbands. Can you imagine the griping and complaining that went on there? Not only that, their shoes never wore out. Wear the same pair of shoes for 40 years and they were just as good at the end of 40 years as they were the day you put them on to leave Egypt. Not only that, He gave them water. Can you imagine? He hit a rock and the water came pouring out. A fountain that never ran dry. And they could just drink from that fountain all they wanted. Everything necessary to sustain life was given by God. Now, I'm sure that there was much more that God provided, but what Moses laid upon them to remember was that God provided all the necessities for life. And He made sure that they understood that it was God who provided them for them. He had them remember that there was not once that God had not provided for His people. Now, let's look back and let's say the same thing, Christian. What good things do we lack? I mean, you got up this morning and you slept in a comfortable, warm bed last night. You didn't pull up a rock like they did and sleep on a rock. You did not put sand and hollow it out a little bit and crawl into a dugout spot that you had made in the sand. You slept on a comfortable bed last night. You had heat in your home. You had comfort in your home. You got up this morning and you took a shower and you got dressed and you had a little bit of breakfast and you came to church and you came into a building that was heated so we wouldn't sit in here and freeze. You sat on comfortable pews. You had lighting that was provided. You have a sound system so you don't have to strain to hear. I mean, listen, God has blessed us beyond anything we deserve. I had an assistant pastor one time, and every time you asked him, how are you doing? He'd say, better than I deserve. Isn't that the truth? All of us are doing better than we deserve. There is not a one of us that could stand and testify against God this morning. Every one of us could stand and say, you know, the Lord has been good to me. Because the Lord has certainly been good to every one of us. Always, always. And you'll notice, thou shalt remember all the way. That's what always means. All the way. The clothing, the roof over your head. You got in an automobile and you drove to church this morning so you wouldn't have to ride a camel in or a mule. Thank God for Henry Ford. Amen. Think about it. You could have hitched up the wagon and came into church this morning. But you didn't have to do that. God always takes care of His children and provides for their necessities. And folks, not only has God provided for our necessities, but God has gone abundantly beyond what any of us could think or ask. Oh my! Can't you see how important it is to remember what God has done for you? I mean, when He saved your soul, He did for you what should ever stay in the forefront of your mind. And if you keep that in the forefront of your mind, I guarantee you, you'll stay close to the Lord. You'll stay close to Him. You'll love Him. You'll serve Him. You'll give Him every fiber of your being if you'll just remember that one day you were lost and on your way to hell. But in love and mercy, He lifted you out. Set your feet on the solid rock. I'm saying, folks, never forget the fact that you were lost and on your way to hell. But now you're saved and you're on your way to heaven. As you stand here or sit here in the present tense, as you sit here this morning, I want to ask you to look back and remember the goodness and the grace of God and sing in your heart, Jesus led me all the way. I'm here today because Jesus has led me all the way. And we're going to turn tonight and we're going to look at the book of Joshua. And I'm going to show you tonight from the book of Joshua that that same Jesus that has led you to this point today is going to lead you in the days to come. What a Savior we have. What a wonderful God we serve. We all ought to have thankful hearts today. Let's bow for prayer. Father in heaven, we're so very thankful for our Savior. And Lord, I pray you will help us this morning to realize what the Savior has done for us. Lord, I pray that if there's one person here today that does not know the Savior, may they see their need of Christ and come to this altar and let us take the Bible and show them how they can know they're saved. Father, I pray you'll help Christians here today to realize and remember the day we got saved. Lord, if we just look back to where we were and where we were headed, and if we'll look back to that day when we called upon your name and you redeemed us. Lord, if we'll just remember how you worked in our lives, how you brought us to the place where we are today. Lord, you provided all of our needs. You've been there. You'll never leave us nor forsake us. Father, that ought to motivate us to want to do more for you. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to hearts this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. How many of you here today will say, Pastor, I'm saved. I know it. There's no doubt about it. I've been taken from Egypt's bondage. I've been taken from the bondage of sin. And I know if I die today, I'm going to heaven. No doubt about it. Would you raise your hand and testify that you know Christ is your Savior? Just hold your hand up and give testimony that you know the Lord is your Savior. You say, Preacher, I'm saved and I know it. And there's no doubt about it. I know that I'm saved. Amen. Thank you. You may put your hands down. Well, that certainly looked like everybody to me. I could have missed someone, so let me ask, is there one or maybe two? And you'll say, Pastor, I'm not sure. I just don't know 100% for sure, but I tell you, I'm concerned about my soul. Would you pray for me today? I'm not sure I'm saved, but I want you to pray for me. Would you lift your hand and let me pray and ask God to help you this morning? I won't embarrass you, I promise, but I will pray for you and ask God to help you. Would you lift your hand this morning? Is there one? Is there one? Just lift your hand where I can see it, and I'll pray for you. Is there one? Yes, thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. And back here, thank you. Amen. Anybody else? All right, let me ask this question. How many of you here today will say, Pastor, I'm saved, but you know, I'm just not serving the Lord like I should. I've forgotten that God did so much for me. I have forgotten it. I've not been remembering. I have forgotten that He lifted me out of the pit. I have forgotten that He redeemed my soul from hell. And I have been living for the Lord as a result. And Pastor, I want you to pray for me. God's dealing with my heart today. Would you raise your hand and let me pray and ask God to bless and help you? Yes, God bless you. Sir, you may put yours in. Yes, God bless you. Are there others? Yes, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Amen. Thank you, sir. Amen. God bless you over here. Yes, amen. Are there others? Are there others? Yes, God bless you, sir. I see your hand. Amen. All right, let's pray together. Now, our Father, thank you for speaking to hearts today. And Lord, there's at least two people here that are concerned about their soul. They do not know for sure they're saved. Lord, may they come today and put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. May today be the day that they cross out of Egypt, get that sin forgiven, have the bondage broken. Lord, just set them free today. Help them to come and let us take the Bible and pray with them so they can know they're going to heaven. Lord, I pray for these Christians and just ask that you will bless them. Lord, you one day spoke to their hearts and you convicted them of sin and they cried out to you and Lord, you saved them. But now, Lord, help them to live for you. Father, I'm sure if we just remember where we were and where we were headed, and realize what you've done for us,
Oh, that ought to be motivation for us to do something for you. You died for us. Surely we can live for you. So, Father, bless and help us. And then, Father, I want to pray for those that have been going through the periods of difficulty in the wilderness. And Lord, they've been tested and tried, and they've been brought to the edge and then taken back into the wilderness again. Lord, help them to learn the lessons that you're trying to teach them. Show them your truth. Show them your word. And Lord, lead and guide them and get them over into Canaan where there's victory and joy. Father, I pray you'll bless the hearts of your people now. In Jesus' name, amen.